Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CapRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and cap roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your cap roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Hey guys, Lillian here with a fun episode I finally had time to put together with Miss Haley Williams. This is Haley's third year in pro rodeo, and in this episode, we get some insight into the lessons learned as a competitor, both as a youth participating in softball and gymnastics, and what it's like to evolve as a roper, keeping her good horses working and finding her rhythm as a pro rodeo competitor. For some context, this was recorded right before Rodeo Houston, where Haley ended up earning about $1,000. Since then, she's picked up a total of $8,853 in pro rodeo earnings while still recovering from an injury she sustained last fall. She's currently sitting number 18 in the world with $20,417 earned. But before we jump in, I want to thank Purina for supporting this episode of The Breakdown. Their new Replenimash product helps horses recover with ease from workouts and nourishes their digestive system. We'll hear more about them later, but now it's time to rope. Let's go. Good morning, Haley. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for taking some time to chat with me.
For sure. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, you're hitting the jackpots, getting ready for Rodeo Houston.
I most definitely am. I'm having to try to figure out how to rope again and ride all at the same time. A little interesting.
I know, because you were mostly using your upper body, and then now that that right leg is feeling a little bit better, you're having to bring everything back into the picture again.
I think also, like, I rode for a little bit trying to get ready for the NFR, and I couldn't really use that right leg. And so you kind of just figure out a way to adapt without using your legs much. And then now I have to, like, make myself, and I think I'm a little scared to, like, hurt as bad as I did, even though it doesn't hurt near as bad anymore. It's just, I think, mind over matter sometimes.
So before we dive into your background, let's talk a little bit about the right now. What were the injuries that you were overcoming, and kind of talk us through what you guys have done to fix them?
So I got hurt on October 7th, and I had the Texas Circuit Finals and the UPRA Finals, and it didn't get really bad until I went to the Texas Circuit Finals, and it was like a couple of days after the horse fell on me. And so we just kind of kept going because I'm thinking, man, it's just tender. I overdid it after it happened. You know, you're kind of trying to, like, you know, make a reason why it's hurting this bad. And so you kind of just keep going. And then we go to the UPRA Finals that next week, and I can't walk on it, and it hurts so bad. And the last two calves I ran at the UPRA Finals, I was in such amount of pain that I'm like, I don't even think, like, I got to figure out what's wrong so I can try to heal and be ready for the NFR. So we call our family doctor, and we're like, hey, we need to get some x-rays and an MRI and all this stuff. So we go through the whole setup, and he goes, you have a partial tear on your brevis tendon. You have a fracture on that outside bone. Your Achilles has a faint tear, and that's all we knew at that point. Up until after the NFR, that's all we knew was we had those issues with my foot and that there could be some more stuff in the knee, but that wasn't as important as the foot at that point because of the pain. And so we go to the NFR, and I'm like, man, my foot's hurting, but so is my knee really bad when I try to do anything. So we actually left for a vacation that I just got to hang out in the house for. My family went and skied right after the NFR. And so after that, I got home, and we went and got some MRIs on my knee and found out I have an ACL tear as well. So I got put back in the boot for the entire duration of Fort Worth. And that was, at the moment, I was, you know, it kind of put you back in that thought of like, oh man, I'm back hurt, you know, and I was non-weight bearing, so I wasn't allowed to walk on it or anything. And so you get to that point, you're kind of just like stuck in this like, oh, like, is it ever going to get, you know? And I know it was only 4 months, but when you keep getting told more things keep coming back, you're like, oh. And so I was in the boot for another, I think it was almost 3 weeks, and we finally get into a specialist in Houston, Dr. Werner. And I walk in there and I tell him what all's happened. He messes around with my foot and he goes, well, here's your options. He's like, you can go in and you can have surgery right now. And we can clean up the cartilage and everything else that's, you know, scar tissue that's going to be happening down there. Or you can kind of just go on. He's like, start walking on it, start stretching it, start working out. Like, you can't hurt it anymore. It's just the brevis tendon is a terrible one to try to heal. And you have 8 to 12 months before you'll be pain-free with doing stuff. And if it's not pain-free in a year or 2 years, then you can come in and we can clean it up. And it doesn't matter when you do it.
So I'm guessing you opted for no surgery.
And well, the exact question that me and my mom both asked him was, what would you do if this was you? And he goes, I wouldn't have the surgery. And he goes, it's not something that is going to hurt you if you don't have it now. You need to see if it'll heal on its own and be pain-free. And I was like, okay, fair enough. So we left there and I called my family doctor, Sean Scott. And I was like, hey, you know, he's the one that takes care of like any sort of injuries that we have. He's the one we always figure out who to go to. And yeah, so it's kind of awesome getting to hear that, you know, it's okay. It's going to hurt. So I'm on medication for the, you know, time moving forward and we're going to figure out a new normal.
What does your pain look like day to day right now?
It doesn't, like, you know, in the beginning it hurt all the time. Even when I was sitting still, now it's kind of like, it doesn't really hurt in the mornings. And it's not really my foot anymore unless it's really cold. My foot's not what hurts. It's more so like my knee. I don't have strength yet to like get up in the saddle. So we have an ACL brace right now that I'm trying to figure out how to rope in. So that like for Houston, like how extreme you have to be up for so long running down the arena. And so I can try to make sure I hustle my horse. I'm trying to figure out how to rope in that at the moment.
Get some vet wrap on that inside brace of it. Protect the saddle.
Exactly. Well, my whole right side of my leg is just bruised on the inside. But my saddle, it's an old tier of a saddle, and it hasn't gotten a scratch yet. I'm like, well, I'm glad at least like I'm with a super simple design on my saddles that I'm riding right now, because I'd be like so sad if these were tooled or something.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the bruises. I didn't even think about that.
It looks like I've been getting beat up or something, but I'm like, nope, just an ACL brace. That'll do it to you, trying to rope in it. Then we ordered them, and they came in the same day. We put them on, and it was a couple of days ago, actually, we got them, trying to figure out how to rope in them. And first one hurt really bad, so I swapped out to the other one. And the very first, like, kick I did on my horse across the line, I broke a buckle on it. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. So now we had to, like, of course, you know, rig it back up in a different way that's a little more comfortable roping in it. But I'm like, you can never actually have nice things around roping. It's always going to break something.
I don't think they designed the ACL braces with ropers in mind.
Well, they should have. Do you know how many people have ACL injuries that are team ropers or tie down ropers or anything?
Yes.
This need to have an athlete version that's just like really durable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jack Potten getting ready for Houston. Which bracket are you in for Houston?
Bracket 3.
Okay, good deal. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and head for the yesteryears. You're 19 years old now, right?
I'm 20.
Oh, shoot. Keep getting older on us.
I know. Just sneaking by an age.
Okay, so you're 20 years old. And y'all live in the Comanche area now, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Where did you live before y'all moved to Comanche?
We had a couple different places. Prior to that, we lived in Mineral Wells, up on the Brazos Mountain. We rented a place there for 2 years, I believe. I'm not really sure on how long. It must have been around 2 years while we were still looking at places. But we actually owned a place in 2017, or we sold it in 2017. But we bought it when I was like, I think two or three.
Mm-hmm.
In De Leon, which is only 15 minutes from where we live now.
Okay, so a lot of your time growing up was split between De Leon and Comanche.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break here to hear a message from today's sponsor, Purina. Attention horse owners, are you looking to help your horse recover with ease after a strenuous workout? Would you like to nourish your horse and their digestive system? If so, try the new Purina Replenimash product. It's much more than a mash. Replenimash promotes hydration, replenishes electrolytes, and supports gastric comfort. Put Purina's research to the test. Stop into your local Purina retailer and grab a bag of Purina's Replenimash product. Now, back to the breakdown. Tell me about the early years of your sports career and your rodeo career.
When I started out roping, I was always out there with my dad riding horses, and he always had something for me on the line. Like if I wanted to pick where we went to dinner, I had to rope how many ever steers or rope the dummy this amount of times or reach at a dummy. Like it was always, you know, I had to achieve something to get to choose to go where to dinner that night. And so that's something that kind of made me figure out like, oh, if you want something, you have to, you know, work for it in whatever matter. Majority of the time, you know, looking back, I'm like, man, I'd much take, you know, rather have to work or get those five steers caught compared to what it actually takes to now get that option. But I think it's pretty cool because in the early years, he didn't really want me full on roping. Like he'd like on the weekends, he'd be like, hey, you want to come rope or whatever? And I was always out there helping him. But I started gymnastics and was on the Junior Olympic tumbling team for 2 years. And then in that time, my brother started baseball. And so when I wasn't at the gym, I was back helping my brother on our own baseball field that we made in our pasture with his whole team and everything. And so in that time, I'm kind of, you know, dad's asking me, he's like, well, what are you wanting to do? And I'm like, I'm battling injuries back and forth with gymnastics because my ankles were not good before. And as you can see, they just don't hold up very well to much pressure. So, I kind of talked to him and we figured out a new way to, we really just sat down and we looked at the basics, like how advanced am I going to get in my gymnast career? We were driving an hour every day one way to take me to gym, and that we were at the gym 5 to 6 days a week on top of we had meets almost every other weekend. And so when you're looking at that, like I really wasn't around my dad or my little brother, because they were always busy with something else. And so I talked to mom and I was like, you think it'd be bad if I just took a break from gymnastics and kind of went into softball and did that? Because I think my heart kind of moved to more of a group activity for a little bit. And so I joined the softball team, and it was actually kind of funny because before, like dad, my mom always took me, but you know, we had our own coaches in gymnastics. On my softball team, the one I originally got drafted into, we were so bad. We walked. We didn't have a pitcher the first game. And, of course, my dad's gone doing schools. And we're sitting there and we're looking, me and mom were looking at each other after our softball game. We got our butts handed to us. I think it was like they literally had to run rule us, where you can only get like 8 runs per inning on the other team. We didn't score a single point. But the other team got 8 runs per inning. And we called dad and we're like, hey, I know you're the coach for Gabe's team, but you're going to have to figure out how to help us. Like, we are terrible. And so in that time, like when we got done calling, we had a peanut butter, Anthony Brinson. He lived in DeLeon. And he was kind of like another grandpa to me. And I called him because he is all about softball. And I was like, do you mind, like, can you come and give me some pointers on my pitching? Like, I need to get my pitching where at least I can, like, give them a chance to hit the ball. And so we started working on my pitching and trying to get that where we actually were competitive. Well, in that time, the other coach's daughter became the catcher. And so it kind of, me and her kind of got a duo, and we started actually not winning, but we didn't lose by more than like 2 or 3 points. And then at the end, we actually beat one of the best teams in the league. And we hadn't had, we weren't making it to state anyway, but we actually had that feat under our belt. And so it kind of gave us all like a lifted little spirit. And in that time, I ended up, you've got league ball, and then we did travel ball. So me and Gabe both ended up getting on travel ball. And that was a lot of driving because, from going from the backyard into a driving all the way to Granbury from DeLeon, 3 or 4 times a week for private lessons. My brother was on the edge baseball team. I had a private coach there that I would go for pitching and batting lessons every time he had practice. So it was a lot of learning experiences because you got to learn hand-eye coordination. You learned how to, keep your body in tip-top shape when you're having to do that much physical activity all the time. And especially during the summer, like you had regimens you have to go through so you wouldn't get overheated in those games. So that was all something we learned. And just kind of, we both aged out. I was doing travel ball. So I was in one team and I was 11 in a 14U team, which I had a blast. Those were like my older sisters. That was such a fun time. And then they ended up aging up and we were like, okay, I don't need to go to, I think it was 16U. I was like, I'm 12 or 13 at the time. I'm like, I'll just stay in 14U. So I get traded to another team. And it went okay. At that time, we were also back and forth between where we were living. So it was a lot of driving back and forth to go meet these tournaments and kind of just made, again, you're at that point where you're like, okay, is this something I really want? And when you look at the college softball, at that point in my life, I also was team roping. I was starting to get big enough that I could team rope and do all these other little things and make money. And I kind of had to make the deal like, okay, am I in love with softball enough to kind of give up everything else and just kind of dive head first? Or if I do want to go to college, I can get a rodeo scholarship and go that way. And so we had a big conversation with the family, but we kind of both we all agreed that rodeo is what makes sense for our family at that point in our life. And so I called and I had to tell him that we were moving and that it wouldn't work. And it all worked out. I think had we not been moving, I don't know what would have been the push to make me kind of break off from softball, but it definitely taught me how to, rationalize. Like, yeah, you can love something, but is it worth all the work in the end for what you're going to get,
I find the whole sports other than rodeo growing up so interesting because I feel like a lot of kids just do rodeo growing up and the diversity part of it is fun. And I know obviously a softball pitch and a rope and throw are worlds different, but as you mentioned, they both require a level of control and, structure within your body to be able to execute that.
Most definitely. I mean, you don't realize, which I didn't realize either, you're a kid, you're just having fun, working out really isn't on your game plan. But gymnastics taught me your core strength, like how much core you need to do any of those flips and the trampoline, which was, my love-hate relationship with the trampoline. And so when I went into softball, I was able to grow my shoulders. I was able to learn how to obtain that muscle mass and that strength where when I go rope, before it was like I could rope, 10, 15 steers. And I was like, oh, my arm's hurting. And when I was in softball, I could rope as much as I wanted because my arm was so strong that it never hurt. And so that's, I think, something that, later on when I had that barrel horse fall with me, it definitely made it all. Me have to relearn those skills,
Mm-hmm. So that barrel horse fall happened when you were in junior high, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I had it. I was actually riding it for some of our friends. They were wanting to sell him, and I was about to leave for state, and I was like, "Man, I'm going to run this horse because I made it in the barrels." And I was like, "I'll see if the barrel horse I had at the time had just gotten diagnosed with kissing spine." So I was like, "Well, if I can get her running." Or this new horse running good, then I'll just let this one and I'll send it back to the vet and see if we can get it injected again. and, you know, hopefully have it better for, like, next year of my high school years. And I go to make a run, and he did good. And so the next day we come back, and I'm just working him. I'm like, okay, I got to get him, like, I was watching the video, and if you guys know my dad at all, he's very, like, you video, you watch, you study, you fix it on the next day. So that's kind of the way he teaches you. And I go to make this run. I'm like, okay, I got to make sure, like, I hustle him by the barrel and come back. And I go to, like, hustle, and I go to turn back, and he somehow, like, stumbles or slips on my first and shatters his knee. And so it's like you're running and just broadsides you. Well, he scraped me down the ground, and it wasn't necessarily hard, but the ground's hard no matter what. And I messed up my shoulder, and of course that's on, like, let's just say a Monday. We leave on Wednesday headed for state. And so I'm like, oh no. So I my whole right side is just covered in bruises. And so we call, of course, Sean Scott, and we're like, hey, what do you think we should do? And he's like, well, can you still walk? And I'm like, yeah, I can walk. Like, it's not. And he's like, can you still swing a rope? I'm like, I can. It's just really slow right now. And he goes, give it a day, take some medicine, and come back tomorrow. And I'm, like, really sore the next day. And, of course, everything by then is, like, black and blue. And go on. Well, I go to state, and I hadn't ran any calves on my breakaway mare. And, you know, when you're thinking about it, you're like, at least for us, we're like, practice, practice, and then, you know, practice a little more before you leave. Like, you better be in mental tip-top shape before you go so that you have nothing, you know, you still work on everything when you're there. It's just, you kind of have that security, like, hey, I've done it good. Like, I did the most amount of practice I possibly could to make myself ready and my horses. Well, I had, I think at that time, a 19-year-old breakaway horse that we had gotten my junior high year. My sixth grade year, and I had to figure out the navigation of, I hadn't rode her because she'd gotten hurt and I had to doctor her. She had a thorn got stuck in her belly. So we've been doctoring that, and you couldn't put her, it was right where your back cinch went. And I'm like, okay, I can't ride her. Well, then I was planning on riding her the day the horse fell. Well, I couldn't really rope. So I just left her alone, and she did not like my dad. So dad couldn't ride her. And I'm like, okay, like, we'll be fine. Like, she knows her job. Well, I take her at state. At least in our Texas state, in junior high, they always had a practice arena where you could get up. I think it was at 5 a.m., 5 or 6 a.m., because the purse started at 9. So I think it must have been 5 a.m. Because you're up at, like, dark, saddling your horses and getting ready, and then by the time the daylight's coming up, you start roping and you can practice calves. Well, of course, I'm down there, and I'm like, at that point, you're kind of, you know, I'm about a week out of the injury, we'll be good, because I was up on a Wednesday that day, so you're back-to-back purse. And I get up that day, and I'm like, okay, I got a rope on her, whatever. And I proceed to try to walk her in the box, and this old woman hops up on her back feet and just walks out. And, like, she did this before, so I wasn't, like, scared of it. But I'm like, oh, no. Is she really in one of those moods today? And I'm looking around, and, of course, I'm kind of frazzled at this point. I'm like, I don't have another breakaway horse with me. You know, not one that I've been competing on in the last 2 years. And I look at my dad, and he's like, go lope her some more. So I lope. And the thing about her is, you didn't want to get her too hot, because then she got mad, too. You know, she's an old woman at that point, and had her own mind of her own. So, and her name fit her well, Sassy. That was her name. And it fit her to a T. It was her world, and we lived in it, in her mind. And so I'm like, I lope her a little more, and I go to walk her in the box, and she does the same thing. Hop up, walk out. And I'm like, and I don't even get her turned around. And she's already just, like, spinning and going. And I'm like, this is not good. And I look over, well, I forget that she's an ex-pole horse, and, like, that was her true love, was pole bending. But she gets old that she couldn't do it, and there's two poles still standing up from their practice they had that night before. And so I just trot over there, and I get off, and I knock them both down and lay them down next to the fence, and I get back on, and I walk to the box, and my dad's like, that's not it. And I walk her in. This mare has no more issues the rest of the day. And I'm like, Oh my gosh, this woman is freaking me out over Pulse. I'm thinking, what happened? Is she not feeling good still? And no, it's just she didn't want to go with Pulse in the arena.
She's ready to make a pole run for you.
She was. And, you know, that you got to respect a horse that loves an event that much. But I just had to, from then on, we always knew to, like, scout the area prior to bringing her in.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure there's no poles still standing up.
And I remember in an article we did on seven reasons that you should get a senior horse for your youth, that you said that that mare really helped you keep a finished horse working and keep her honest and, you know, not do too much on her.
Exactly. I mean, with her, when I first bought her, it was, I think I went to 2 junior high rodeos my 6th grade year. And me and my dad were talking because I was, of course, all my horses that I was competing on that weekend were heel or head horses. Like, we had nothing else. And so, of course, I'm pole bending on my good head horse, the Roan Spider-Man. I'm breakawaying on a heel horse called Queen. I was heading on a different horse. Actually, I headed on my Roan that weekend. And so you're going through all these steps. And Dad's like, the only thing that I want you is I want you, like, a legit breakaway horse so that you can kind of get better at that sport. He's like, that's a roping event. We need to be good at that. He's like, I can't really help you on the barrels and poles. And he said that in the beginning. And then as it went on, he would always critique me on my barrel and pole run as it, you know, as he felt like, oh, I understand what that is now, you know. So I think it's kind of funny. But no, Sassy taught me a lot because, you know, when I got her, I was trying to figure out how to ride a good horse. And I didn't know, like, just like one thing that I, the very first day that we had issues with her is I'm always used to a head horse. So you walk them in this, you know, towards by the chute, and then you turn around and back in. Well, with her, she'd always been taught you walk right by the chute, you turn towards the chute, and you back up. And of course, I don't know, maybe 12 at this time, and I just go to walk her in. Well, she freaks out. Like, she doesn't know how to turn around in this deal. And if anyone ever had experienced Sassy in their life, they knew how opinionated she was. Like, it was exactly, the best way to phrase it is her world. And you had to figure out how to fit in her world. And so you would, so I call the lady that we're trying, I'm like, hey, she doesn't want to go in the box. And they're like, well, which way are you walking her in the box? And I'm like, by the chute and turn, like, no, walk by the box, turn to the chute. And I'm like, okay, never had an issue since. And I was like, all right. You know, in the first, like, day, I think I ran, like, 3 calves, 4 calves on her, and she worked amazing. Go to the regions. I don't remember how I placed, but I ended up winning the year in the breakaway on that mare. And so, as it got on, where I ended up making that mare that I originally rode, Queen, my practice horse. And then I made every other head horse and heel horse that we had were practice horses as well. You know, I just practiced on everything else. And I would bring Sassy up out of the pasture about 2 days prior to our competition. And I would exercise her. You know, I'd be exercising her about a week prior. But 2 days prior, I'd put her in the box. I'd score a couple and I'd free her up on one or two. And that'd be it. I would never practice for myself on her. It wasn't really a thing of question just because you knew she knew her job. You just kind of made sure that you kept her honest and still kind of sharp on, hey, I know it's your world, but you still got to kind of do it correct, you know? And so she definitely taught me, like, if they're not doing anything wrong, quit messing with them. Quit jacking with them. Quit practicing on them. Because in the end, she was already 19 at that point. How many more runs did we think we were going to get out of her? Little did we know that that woman, as we're speaking, is still rocking and rolling as good as ever.
Shout out to Sassy.
Exactly.
Is she just rocking chilling in a pasture somewhere, being a terror?
So, it actually is kind of, I feel like a kind of cool story. We bought her from Shauna and Craig Kavnis, and they were selling her because their oldest daughter, which was the one that rode Sassy, had either graduated college or was in college and didn't have time to ride her. And they just didn't need this awesome mare sitting around. So we bought her. Well, I used her until my senior year, which I didn't
high school rodeo at that time. I was rodeoing already professionally. And so I kept looking at Sassy out in the pasture, and I'm like, man, I just, you know, I'm never going to use her again, because what I ask of her, I feel like it's like that mare's great at like junior high school level, but I don't really feel like it's fair to me to take her to a rodeo nowadays and be like, I need you to run your guts out and stop super fast at, I think she was 23. And so I was like, okay. So I called Shauna. I was like, hey, is there any way like you guys would need Shauna again, you know, because Shauna and us are the only two owners she's ever had. And so I was like, I got to give them first option to take her while we're talking. And I was like, you know what? Like, what if you just come and take her? Like, I don't really want to sell her, because I don't really want her getting, she's done more than me for me than my career than I could ever ask. So just, if you'll just take her and let her live out the rest of your lives. And they have a younger daughter, P, coming up, that they are going to try to let Sassy get, you know, kind of ready with her. And Sassy is getting more opinionated with age, they think. And so until P gets a little older, I think is going to be the, she's got some really cool breakaway horses right now that are easy for her. And so if they ever need Sassy, she's in their, you know, backyard, but who knows? She's got some legit breakaway horses they bought for her prior to Sassy coming back.
So Sassy may win again, or she may just...
She may win again. I mean, she's... I actually talked to her probably last month, and we just check in every now and then. That mare means a lot to me, and abundance to them. So it's kind of cool having that connection with someone over a horse. But I get pictures of her, like, during the winter, of her in her slinky and her blanket in the barn, and, like, It's that mare is getting spoiled rotten again. And I'm sure she's like, yeah, Haley never blanket, which I don't blanket my horses. My vet doesn't really like it. And I kind of just always grown up like, if you're not going to be there, you know, anytime it gets cold with that horse, don't blanket him. And so I've always lived by that rule. But, that mare is getting spoiled. I actually pulled her out in, was it 2020? Yeah, it was the year that it's been 4 years since, but when they had the Texas NFR, I pulled Sassy out and hadn't used her in a year. I hadn't roped on her or anything. I just turned her back out in the pasture, and I had another horse, and he wasn't working real good, and I had back-to-back competitions, and I came home for a day to practice, and Dad's like, hey, go grab Sassy, and he told the guy that was working for us, and he's like, the old mare? What are we? And I'm like, oh no. And I ran a calf on her. I was like, okay, I'm taking her. And I go, and I think I went either 8 or 10,000 that weekend on her. And I was like, yep, that felt good. That it felt like back in the old days, you know. But she was great, and she was just easy. And you know, that horse is like your comfort blanket. That's what she was, definitely, for the breakaway for me.
I love it. So going into high school, you still rode Sassy. And then when did Red Light come into the picture?
So I rode Sassy at 2 high school rodeos. And then my dad was like, hey, Gabriel's starting to break away, you know, because he's in junior high at that time. And I'm like, okay, like, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, I think Sassy would be a good fit. Well, I'm like, okay. Like, I've got QB. We had bought QB from Grant Foster, and originally came from Zach Youngblood, I believe. And so I'm like, all right, QB, and we'll be good. And it just kind of was a learning curve, because, you know, Sassy was a great, like, 2.4, 2.5 mare. And especially at that level that I was my freshman year, I couldn't really go much faster than a 2.3 on her, 2.4. And so at that point, you're kind of like, oh, like, I need something a little faster. And QB is like the definition of let's go fast. Like, he loves going fast. That is his setup. And so I started riding QB there. And my level of aggressiveness, like, let's just say, like, now is it like a solid, like, 6 or 7, depending on, like, I was a solid 10. Like, I was 1-2 swings, not passing the barrier throwing. In high school, in freshman year, because that's all we were working on, was trying to get my range better. And I didn't know any different at that point in the breakaway. So if you ever see any videos, you'll see that my aggression was most definitely probably a hair too much for high school. But, you know, when you step out of that junior high group and have to step into the high school group with all the big girls that you've watched for so many years, especially with us, because we had our junior high and high school rodeos ran together, so you always got to watch them. That was definitely something that I think I had to figure out how to tame, like, the level of, like, how fast I wanted to go. So
you were either going to tear the barrier down or die trying.
That's for sure. And what's crazy is on QB, I didn't break very many barriers. I just would be throwing before the barrier ever broke. And sometimes it would go on and I'm like, how did it go on? And we'd be like a 1-7 and I wouldn't have any care. Like, I'd be like, that's awesome. Great. Whatever. But I got to do it again tomorrow. You know, like, that was kind of my motto back then. I was like, I have to go fast. Like, I got to figure out how to go fast. And so freshman year, that's all I did was I went fast. And then that was the year of COVID and everything. And I ended up taking a break, though, in my freshman year. I had a couple rodeos. And since I wasn't team roping, I only team roped the first, like, couple rodeos. And then me and my partner split ways. And he went and rodeoed with someone else. And I was like, man, I'll just focus on breakaway. And that way, if I want to go to team roping or something else, I'll just turn out of the high school rodeo and do whatever. And then come my junior or my sophomore year, I'm kind of getting more serious. I've got a couple, you know, I'd already bought Red Light at like the halfway point in my sophomore year, but he was in like rehab and stuff still. So I must have been riding a couple of the other horses I had, like Ray, or I think I rode QB a majority of the time, but back and forth, just kind of, you know, having fun with it. Cause my brother now was his eighth grade year, my sophomore year. So we kind of were together a little bit and I was already going to be there with my family, so I might as well enter. And then my junior year, I didn't want a high school rodeo, but I was only going to be eligible halfway through to get my permit. And so dad's like, why don't you just go ahead and take Red Light and you'll just kind of season him in the high school rodeos. Well, let's just say there's eight rodeos the first set, and I was in the top three, six out of the rodeos. And then the other two, I think I ended up either turning out of them or just didn't enter because I had jackpots. And so dad's like, well, you can't stop now. So I'm trying to juggle PRCA rodeos that I'm eligible for the next, you know, the second set of high school rodeos. And I'm like, that's, you know, it's a fun learning curve. And it definitely taught me how to, like, figure out my schedule and make sure I've asked for the right perf and slack and everything. But we end up winning. That's probably honestly one of the most special saddles I have in high school career was the junior year breakaway saddle. I won it on a horse that me and my dad had both kind of made on the fact of like seasoning. So
it was kind of cool. What was that horse's name?
Red Light.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. no, that's just, he was the one that we were like, okay, like you got to get him seasoned because I kept like wanting to choose him in certain aspects. And so it was kind of funny. It kind of showed me like a glimpse into the future. Just, I didn't know it at that point of like Friday, we'd go to a jackpot. We'd have a jackpot Saturday morning while the junior high was going on. And then we'd bust it to get back to Hamilton and do the high school. And then we leave right after that to go to some rodeo that night. Like, so we had on Saturdays, we never actually were at the arena much longer than we had to be. We would get there, check on how Gabe did in the junior high, rope my cap, and we'd be busting to get to like Stockyards or something else. And half the time, Gabe would load up with us and go to Stockyards after because he was done that by that time. So it's kind of, it's definitely really cool looking back, knowing like that was just a stepping stone in what I do now. But at that point, you're just like having a blast, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. So you talked about going to Cowtown, going to Hamilton, starting to run around like crazy, trying to go to those pro rodeos that you were eligible for. Talk me through the first year or so of your pro rodeo journey.
my pro rodeo journey was definitely one for, you know, dad wasn't really ready for me to go. He was like, I got to get you and your horse a little more seasoned. Like, you got to figure out how to rodeo a little more. And at that point, like, I'd never really done any like UPRA rodeos. It was like Stockyards or Jackpots or high school rodeos. We weren't really a UPRA family just because I didn't have horses that we were like, oh, you need to go fast on, you know? And typically we were always trying to keep horses working. So, my first year rodeo was definitely the only time me and dad had butted heads like in one singular aspect, because he was like, I enter a couple rodeos. I broke a barrier at Waxahachie, my first ever PRCA rodeo. I broke a barrier there to win it. Of course, you know, if I'd broken out, would I won it? We'll see. You know, that's up to your opinion. But I go and I enter a couple of the rodeos and we're doing like Claremore. I place at Claremore. I win Durant, Oklahoma. And so I called out. I'm like, well, I might be entering a couple more rodeos. And he's like, oh, child, like, I don't think we're ready. I don't think we're ready for this yet. And so I come back home and, you know, I'm laying it out with mom at night and I'm like, okay, like, and at that point, like, I really didn't know like our graphics on where all of the United States are and how far they are apart from each other, which I learned really quickly in rodeos.
You're like, and everything's just a couple hour drive. It's fine.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, the most amount of hours we've ever driven, you know, for me to compete was here on South Dakota. And that's like way far away. And then I'm looking at the sheet for all the breakaway rodeos. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's South Dakota rodeos. Like, mom, we've driven there. And she was like, Haley, it's at the wrong time of the year. And of course, mom has never, like, she's always just like sitting there like, okay, whatever. And I'd be talking to mom about it. And dad's like, no, you're not doing that. Do you know how far that is from this rodeo? And I'm like, but yeah, we can make it if we hit the slack here and the last perf here. And then we go back. And he's like, how much is it going to cost you in fuel? And I think it only took me like actually like realizing how long each drive was, like 2 days of like mapping it out to be like, okay, we're going to nix this rodeo because it's too far away. We're going to nix this one because, you know, and you just kind of get to figure out how to place them correctly. But I definitely feel like my first year in PRCA, we had a goal and I accomplished it. And then it kind of set me up for the next year to kind of have a little more cushion going into the summer run. But I think anything's a learning curve. And, you know, you always tell people and everybody tells you, like, if you've got a young horse, the first year, they're like completely new-eyed babies. The second year, they're kind of getting their footing, but they're going to have major mishaps. Third year, they're starting to get a little more solid. And then, like, fourth, fifth, and sixth year are, like, the years that you're actually having fun. So that's what I tell everybody is my career is going to be like. You know, the first year, I was rocky. I didn't really know. Second year, still making mistakes, but figuring it out. Third year, might be getting a little better, but we're still on, you know, fresh feet. And then fourth, fifth, and sixth, like, I should have my, you know, my ducks in a row by then. And everybody laughs. They're like, I like how you're giving yourself one more year. I'm like, well, I'm not saying I'm ready yet. Like, no way do I feel like I'm ready for every situation yet, but I'm getting there.
You're like, I haven't won the world yet, so I'm not at my full potential.
Exactly. I got to, you know, figure out how to make costly mistakes out of my future. You know, I got to figure out how to get those eliminated as quick as possible.
So this is your third year, right?
This is my third year, yep. Okay. Waxahachie will officially start, like, my third year of rodeoing.
So that's April. Fun.
It is. It's a little interesting, yeah.
So it would be silly if we didn't talk about making the NFBR and the insanity of the summer of 2023. Start off the year winning Rodeo Houston, which honestly, and I think people around you and even the media contributed to this, put a lot of pressure on you as far as you won Rodeo Houston. This is it. You were so far ahead, everybody. And I think we contributed to it a little bit.
See, I don't feel, and I can honestly say this is like the most honesty I could probably ever say. I don't feel like it was anybody that ever put the pressure on me, because I've never felt that sort of like peer pressure. And I know it sounds completely weird, but like I've always been per se the odd bird out in a lot of stuff. So like that, like, oh, you're not going to do it like the dares and stuff like that. That never worried me or bothered me. I think, honestly, I put way too much pressure on myself, like overanalyzing and, you know, thinking about it and watching the standings and this and that, like, instead of taking a step back and being like, this is the event that I love and I'm doing it because I make a, you know, a living out of it, but I also love it. And I have to remember that in every step, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I didn't. I kind of put this pressure like, it's right there. Don't let it go, you know? And I kept telling myself, and like, when I do interviews, they be, you know, anyone that we did interviews, it was like, awesome. Like, you know, they're like, this is an amazing moment. Like, are you excited? I'm like, definitely. And then we get done and I'm just like, okay, like, you know, get back and focus instead of being like, that, you know, you never guarantee tomorrow. At the end of the day, like, if you live each day like it's your last, then that'll definitely be worth it in my book, you know, whether good, bad, you know. Thankfully, I have a great amount of sponsors that are behind me and support me throughout every decision and throughout my injury this past 4 months. And so I'm excited for the future, but I'm also excited for the, you know, kind of the weight lifted that I had last year and kind of just getting to enjoy it again.
So you absolutely crushed your first down at NFBR, despite being in a ton of pain. Talked about your knee earlier. How did that feel to have that successful end of season after how tough it was throughout the summer?
I would definitely say that it went better than it could have, most definitely. And it sounds so bad, but I still wasn't happy with my performance at the NFR. Like, yeah, like I won 2 rounds and I placed another really low, but like I didn't capitalize the first day on the calves I wanted to. Now the second day, I can't really hold myself, like I can't be mad about it or, you know, beat myself up over it because I've never roped with that amount of pain before that I had in my foot that day. And it was honestly like my whole right leg, but I'd never experienced it. So it's something I didn't know how to, like, you know, compensate for. But the first day I missed a couple calves or just was tear off on a couple. And then I shouldn't have been, like, I'd roped enough fast and I'd roped the dummy enough that like my loops were sharp enough. I just wasn't getting up because I was scared it was going to hurt instead of just making it hurt a little in those runs. But it's still unknown and you don't really know until, you know, looking back, I can always change stuff, but it definitely went better than it could have. But, you know, for any athletes, it was never good enough.
I think that just shows that you're a competitor and that you're going to continue to push yourself to get better and better.
That is a goal. Hopefully I look a little sharper this coming year and I got my horses in a new lineup.
What can we expect to see from you? You mentioned the horses on your trailer. What kind of rope and style are we going to see from you this year and what horses are we going to see you back in the box with?
So I have a mixture of 4 or 5 horses that I'll be alternating this year. Of course you have the, you know, solid red light, which he's actually team roping with my dad as we speak today in orange. I kind of sent him with him while I was trying to figure out how to like ride again. I've been riding everything else so that when he got back, he'd be sharp for Houston. But I've got red light. I've got Blaze, which I won't. At the moment, I'm not planning on having Blaze out there the full summer. I kind of want him for, like, Cheyenne and a couple of the other rodeos. Like, I'd really like to have Blaze for Greeley, but I think I'll probably just ride Red Light there. And then I've got Hummer, which is a horse that I bought in the summer last year. And then I've got a really cool, exciting one that I haven't really mentioned him yet, but we'll see how his future turns out, and hopefully you'll be seeing some posts about him soon. And then I've got QB, which is my old horse. He's just rock solid on any fast setup. He's amazing. And he's good in any setup. It's just he's outstanding in a really quick setup. So it's just easier to let him do his best avenue.
Can we at least get the name of the one that you're holding out on us?
Lippy.
You said Loopy?
Lippy. Lippy.
That's really cute.
Yeah, he's I haven't taken him. I exhibition him at Granbury the other night, and he's doing amazing. Like, but he's also Oh, you're getting more details out of me. But he's, I'm really excited. My brother bought him as a heel horse last summer. And I've watched this horse for so many years. So I'm excited for what the future is. Now, will he be in the rig or not? That's kind of up for discussion, but he is already a seasoned heel horse. So I'm hoping that the turnaround time for being a heel horse to breakaway horse isn't as long as, starting him from the ground up.
That's really fun. I look forward to seeing him. Honestly, seeing all your horses, it's fun to watch the really solid ones work.
It is. Hopefully I get Blaze a little more solid come the next couple months so that he's ready for this summer run again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think that covers basically everything. Thank you for your time this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I love Haley's old soul and analytical mind. Seeing her grow these last few years has been such a privilege, and she's one of the first people that I text when a rodeo has a funky format or I need some industry insight. Hopefully this episode showed the importance of different sports for young rodeo athletes, as well as the benefits of letting these youth problem solve for themselves. Looking ahead in the breakaway industry, the California run is well underway and we're inching ever closer to Reno Rodeo, which officially kicks off the summer run. The Breakaway Roping Journal will be keeping you updated daily on breakaway happenings, and the Breakdown podcast will continue to bring you weekly breakaway and calf roping content. We hope to see you next time on The Breakdown.